Hey guys, welcome to the T-Wood Show. I'm your host, Travis Woodham. Thanks for taking a listen in. This is my very first episode ever on the T-Wood Show. So strap in, enjoy the awkwardness of my first show on this earth. It will definitely be an adventure we can both experience together. So here we go. But because this is my first show ever, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on myself first. Then I'll kind of dive into why I started this podcast and what this show is all about, along with the quarterfinal matchups in the 2018 World Cup this summer, with a very special guest interview with that towards the end of this podcast. So hang tight, and here we go. Well, first of all, I am Travis Woodham. That is my name. My nickname is T-Wood. I got that back in elementary school. I think my friend Joshua Greenlaw, I believe, was the one that came up with that one. And it kind of just stuck with me. It's pretty original. But anyway, I'm 25 years old. I'm married to an amazing woman named Morgan. I live in Clayton, North Carolina. Work at an amazing sporting goods company. It's called 323 Sports. And I love the game of soccer or football for your Europeans out there. But for your Americans, we call it soccer here. But I actually didn't grow up playing soccer competitively until my seventh grade year at Bethany Christian School in Troy, Michigan. But rest assured, I was definitely a competitive soccer player during recess in elementary school. As my friend, as I mentioned before, Joshua Greenlaw, he had a nickname that I gave him, and it was called Crazy Legs, because he would literally slide tackle everyone. I mean, it didn't matter if it was a boy or girl, he just went after that ball or your legs, maybe both. But maybe some of you can relate to that friend, or maybe that friend is actually yourself. Anyways, I started to really like the game once I started to play competitively in seventh grade at Bethany Christian. I never actually had the privilege to play at a club level growing up because it really was just too expensive. I mean, it was like, I can remember $4,000 for one summer playing in Rochester Hills. I think RSC was the name of the club. Granted, that did include all the soccer uniforms, gear, equipment. I'm not sure if it included travel expenses or not, but it was basically some total of $4,000 for one summer. And I have three brothers, my older brother Carl, younger brother Ryan, and youngest brother Justin. And trust me, like if you ever grew up with siblings, if you do something, you know your other siblings are going to want a piece of that pie. So $4,000 times four, that can turn into $16,000 for my parents to fork out every summer, and that just wouldn't happen. But this is a direct effect of the proverbial pay-to-play system. But that is for a whole nother podcast episode we can get into later. But going back to kind of my background, I played all the sports and that my school had to offer: basketball, soccer, baseball, wrestling, even. I wanted to experience it all. I really enjoy playing basketball, and actually would call basketball my first love, if you will. My mom can confirm this. Mom, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you enjoyed those jet skis Uncle Greg has at his lake house up there in Michigan. But she can confirm this. I would basically say to her that one day, Mom, I'll grow up and play in the NBA and have a house with two dogs and 12 fish and live right next to you and Dad. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how time changes things. I'm definitely, not there in the NBA, obviously. But for those wondering at home, I do not play in the NBA. I do not have 12 fish, two dogs. I do not live right next to my parents. But I did purchase my first home with my wife, Morgan, a couple months ago. And we're definitely dog people, but we're just trying to keep a tight budget right now, paying off student loans. So anyway, we do not have a dog at this moment. But it wasn't until my ninth grade year, that I really wanted to get better at soccer. I think this is the moment where the confidence in my game kind of came, and the passion for this game kind of jump-started my ninth grade year of high school. The reason why is because my varsity coach, Phil Fougere, what's up, Phil, if you're listening, he called me up from the JV squad my ninth grade year to the varsity squad because they were playing their first round in the playoffs against Springfield Christian Academy on our home turf, and he needed some extra legs up top. And so I was lucky enough to score the game winner for that varsity squad. It was a fantastic feeling. I would never forget that moment. Basically, how the play happened, you know, the classic high school play where the defense booms it up across everybody, up to the forward, and hopefully the forward gets to it. That was kind of the type of play that happened. But it was like the 79th minute. And back then in high school, we only played two halves of 40 minutes. So basically, in professional terms, it was the 90th minute, basically, or 89th minute. Anyway, our defense just booms it up there across the whole, above all the midfield players and up to me. And it just took a couple bounces in the box. And I just took my right foot and just, easily passed the keeper. And it really, this was kind of a bang-bang play, and it actually took me a couple of seconds to actually score, to realize I actually scored, and, all these guys are just, surrounding me, giving me high fives, and it was a great moment. I was very thankful for that moment that Coach Phil gave me and that opportunity to play. And that's kind of where it all started for my passion of the game, and ever since, I really was interested in it, but we ended up losing in the quarterfinals that year, I think, but then eventually we won our championship my senior year of high school. But after high school, I went on to play at Bob Jones University on their first ever intercollegiate soccer team in school history. Well, that's pretty cool. Very privileged to do that and honored to do so. So it really was honestly the best 4 years of my short-lived life so far. I wouldn't trade that for anything, really. The relationships that were formed with my coaches, my teammates, my friends, while I was there at Bob Jones, will always be there, and I'm so thankful for those. So I was privileged to play forward my freshman and sophomore years, and then a little bit of every position my junior year, kind of the utility player, if you will. But then my senior year, I actually started at center back. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity to play basically all over the field, and it gave me good perspective as a player that will eventually help me as a coach later on as well. But let's kind of talk about why I started this podcast. I know, people are just wondering, okay, Travis is putting out another piece of content that he says he's going to do, but he's not going to do it. He's probably not. But I can tell you this. I'm going to stick to this one, and I'm finally here. I'm finally able to do it. But the reason, there's basically kind of threefold reasons why I started this podcast. The first one is I love the game of soccer in the United States of America. We just celebrated the birthday of the USA. So I'm going to talk about the game that's being played here in my country. And then as well as around the world, kind of just the headlines and stuff like that, like Ronaldo just signing with Juventus, which is pretty crazy. But number two, I want to help grow awareness and participation of the game in the States so it can be acknowledged as maybe a major sport in the USA, as right now I'm pretty sure ESPN does not say that soccer is a major sport in the USA. But I want to know and feel out a way of how the USA men's national team, because the women have won a World Cup, but I want to see how and the steps to get there for the US men's team to win a World Cup in my lifetime. But that's reason number two. And three, I just like to create social content, and I think podcasts are cool, and this is kind of my first experience of doing so, and I just want to share my journey of life and my experiences with you guys and hope that I can add value to your life through this podcast, whether that be how you can personally grow the game of soccer in the U.S. or, how my life experiences with my wife through living life can help yours, or maybe something that I did that you shouldn't do may add that value to you, or maybe it's something that I did do and maybe be a good tip for you to do. Who knows? Take it or leave it. But this, the episodes, kind of what I'll be talking about on the show, is basically just mainly soccer and its involvement in the USA specifically, but of course around the world, like I mentioned. But within these episodes, there'll be stories about my life experiences and how it can help better yours, maybe through the game of soccer. That's kind of the whole point. So that's kind of what is being discussed. I mean, it could be anything from, you know, Ronaldo signing with Juventus, Neymar being the classic Hollywood's next Hollywood star with his, you know, dramatized injuries or fouls. But he's very good at that. I'm going to say he's got a talent for that. So he could fit in really well at the LA Galaxy, if I dare say. But as we get kind of toward the end of this podcast, I just want to thank you personally for listening in. I know you've made it this far, so congratulations. But next up is just an interview with my friend from Bob Jones. His name is John Yessa. He loves the game of soccer. He works at Domino's and also a business that his buddy owns. He works for him as well. So working two jobs, but loves the game of soccer. He's going to Charlotte to see Dortmund and Liverpool play, which is going to be a huge game. But I asked him about the quarterfinals of this World Cup, kind of basically what you guys are waiting for as far as our analysis of the matchups going on this weekend. So without further ado, here is my call with John Yessa in our matchups of the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, what's up, dude?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Just super pumped about my first ever interview here. I'm so glad that you were able to oblige.
Yeah, I'll try not to ruin it for you.
No, dude. You will not ruin it. All you're going to do is just add life to it. That's all that's going to happen. All
right.
But what have you been up to today?
So I work at a comic book store during the day that my buddy Nick owns. So that's what I did this morning, and I'll be at Domino's here in about an hour delivering some pizzas.
Awesome, dude. Now, you've been working at Domino's for a while, haven't you?
6.5 years.
Man, that is amazing, man. So is there any chance I can get a free pie?
Yeah, if I'm up in the triangle area, sure.
I love that.
Get you one. If you're down here in Charlotte, man.
Yes. Now I love Charlotte, and there's a big thing happening in Charlotte. You got Dortmund versus Liverpool this summer, which is insane. And unfortunately, I did not get a ticket for this game. But did you?
I do.
You do. That is amazing, man. You enjoy that experience for me, okay?
I will. Hopefully Pulisic will be there and not get sold to Spurs, like they were saying this morning. It's a $50 million or £50 million bid in for him.
Yes. I really hope he does show, because it's going to be packed anyways, but it's going to be well worth it for any USA fan to go see Pulisic live.
I've seen him play once before. I was at the U.S.-Mexico World Cup qualifier in Columbus.
Really?
Yeah, I skipped Tony Miller's sports marketing class that day and went up there. He was okay with that. He's like, yeah, that's fine.
That is awesome, man. And Tony, if you're listening to this, that was the best move you could have ever made for John Yessa. Okay? He needs to experience these things. And I need to make a trip myself to Columbus. That seems to be sacred ground for the U.S. men's national team, which I think this last season or this last trial run, we lost in Mexico there, I think.
Yeah, we lost 2-1. They scored early on. They hit the post 3 times in the first half.
Yeah.
So we should have been down about 3-0, and then we tied it up. Bobby Wood scored. It was in front of the goal in front of me. I was about 6 rows back. I ended up getting moved 4 rows forward when the crowd kind of surged when he scored. That's kind of cool. But then Marquez scored the winner in like the 90th minute, of course. Man. I hate that guy.
Oh, my goodness. That's an incredible game, though. But, yeah, that is so cool. I actually went – my very first U.S. men's national game was here in Raleigh, actually, at the Wake Med Soccer Park, and we played Paraguay. And that was a good game. I mean, it was freezing, though. It was like, I think it was like 40 degrees outside. And it's metal bleachers, and I'm freezing my buns off. But I was happy to be there. You know, I was just happy to be there. My first ever USA game live, and it was really cool. I think we ended up tying 1-1 or something like that. I think Bobby Wood scored a PK.
Sounds about right.
Exactly. But let's get into kind of the World Cup. Obviously, it's going on right now, and we got the quarterfinals upon us. And I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying this World Cup. It seems to be very entertaining this time around, don't you think?
Yeah, I've loved and hated this tournament at the same time. Obviously, the U.S. isn't there, so that stinks. But it's just been quite disruptive to normal, which has been great. But at the same time, it kind of stinks because Germany is my second team. So watching them just crash and burn out of the group stage was not fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been very entertaining. I will say this is the fifth World Cup I kind of remember seeing. 2002 is the first one I ever really have a memory of. Five when 94 happened here, so I don't really remember that. And when 98 happened, I didn't know what really soccer was, like a typical American.
Right. Yeah. But
I will say 2010, it wasn't as entertaining because you had the Vuvuzelas and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
But I still can hear that annoying sound in my very first tiny, tiny studio apartment.
Yes.
And then 2014 was just, it was entertaining because it was Brazil and it was, the beach and everyone was having fun. But this has been far more entertaining from anything can happen, chaos perspective, unless you're Panama or Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Other than that, it's been great.
Yeah, I would have to agree. It's really been really entertaining, this World Cup. And I was a little happy for Saudi Arabia to finally, at least win a game. So that was kind of cool to see. But, so we got the final eight here. And I'm just going to read off the list and kind of give your opinion on, kind of what your decisions or what your predictions would be. So we got Uruguay versus France Friday at 10 o'clock, first game Friday morning. And then we got Brazil, Belgium after that game at 2 o'clock Eastern. So let's start with Uruguay versus France, though. What's your initial thoughts going into this? France played well. They're looking pretty strong, but Uruguay, they're looking like a solid side as well. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I feel sorry for all four teams on the side of the bracket, like just getting hosed. You got to play powerhouses the whole way through to the final.
Yep.
But I'll say this, Uruguay, I have a bad feeling for just because Cavani, they said he was out injured this morning. He's not playing.
Yes.
We saw Ronaldo, help him off the field. Great sportsmanship there. But I feel that will really hinder Uruguay's attack. Ronaldo Suarez can just do whatever he wants if he decides to turn it on. But you're looking at a French team that's young, experienced, and hungry. They're just going to – they've been on a tear. They haven't lost to a South American side in the last 9 World Cup matchups. They played one from there. So If we follow true form there, France should destroy them. But that being said, the last Uruguay and France have met a bunch of times, but the last 8 times, France has yet to beat them. In fact, the last time they played was 2013. It was a friendly, and of course, that guy Suarez scored the only goal in France. It was a friendly. So, If you follow form in World Cup history, France should win. But we follow how they played. And I understand rosters change, but Uruguay hasn't lost to France in 8 straight games.
Man, that is an incredible stat. And like you said, though, you mentioned that Cavani. He's hurt. That's a big blow to Uruguay. So Suarez is just going to have to pick up the slack up front for them if they're going to have any chance against this French defense. And I have to agree. Who are you going with? I don't know if that was clear. Are you going with France?
Going with France. Okay. My club team is Man United. Everyone can hate on me. It's fine. Go ahead. I suffered through the horrible years, and I'm suffering through the horrible years again now. But my boy Pogba, I think he's just gonna control that game in the midfield. Lawless was one of the things, who's the Uruguay defender, plays for Atletico. Godin. He's like, he's one of the best defenders in the world. The dude is old as can be. He's so slow. I don't know what Wallace is watching. He's watching them. I mean, the man is talented. Don't get wrong. I have played soccer most of my life, and I suck compared to Godin. But this dude is not going to be the difference here for Uruguay. Is Lawless keeps like, he's just holding the ball back line together. No. I'm sorry. I mean, you look at France, and you also got Mbappe. Like, the kid can, like, outrun a cheetah. I mean, you just lob one over the top, and he's going to, you know, he drew a penalty last game, you know, just by going over the top and set it all up, change the whole thing, and who would France play in the round 16? But they were chasing the whole time because you couldn't deal with the speed of Mbappe. And then, you know, he's not enough. You know, look at the rest of the lineup. They're just all fast. And plus, if he has a bad game, you got Griezmann. Who's just going to step up. Mm-hmm. So either way, you're kind of hosed if you're Uruguay, in my opinion.
Yep. And I would have to agree with you on this one. I'm picking France to go through pretty easily, I think. I'm just going to give a scoreline of 2-0 there. But let's go on to the next match here. We got, after that, it's a huge matchup. You got Brazil versus Belgium. This is probably one of my favorite matchups in the quarterfinals, I think. You got two very power-packed teams here. I mean, you got Neymar on the Brazilian side, of course, you know, the guy who can sell any type of call, by the way. And he probably will make his next MLS move to L.A. just because of the fact that L.A. has all the Hollywood lights, and he would just fit right in, I feel like.
I feel like LAFC has a designated player spot for him, too, if he's interested.
Ooh, yes. That would be amazing. But besides that point, Neymar is a very good player. He's very talented with the ball. But do you think Brazil has enough to beat Belgium?
They do. I mean, either team has the talent to win this game. Brazil definitely could. I'll say, I mean, you got a player in Neymar, which I understand everyone's hating on him right now. And I mean, I kind of am too. I mean, you see him rolling around. Now, I will say, in the last game you saw him, there's a little incident there. He did get stepped on. But the way he acted is just, you know. At the same time, I love Marcelo Balboa, a former center back of the U.S., has this quote. He always goes, there's no such thing as breaking a rule or just bending it to your advantage. And he is – look, Neymar is a master of doing that, turning anything to his advantage. He doesn't care what it is. Mm-hmm. So when you have someone like that, I mean, you can win any game. Is that good sportsmanship? It's a whole nother conversation.
But gamemanship. That's what it is.
Yes, it is. But I know Coach Scott would hate me for saying I kind of respect him for doing it. At the same time, I hate him for doing it. But I think the problem with Belgium is you're looking at literally a team. And we saw them have a little struggle in the group stage, you know, barely squeaking out a win in the one game. But the thing you got to remember with Belgium, like, you know, being a team, their midfield is quite scary. I mean, De Bruyne and Hazard, I mean, both those guys could just – do what they want. I mean, De Bruyne literally has, you know, the most assists in the Premier League this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy can just whip a ball in from anywhere. His vision is amazing. And if Hazard wants to take over a game, he will. And then you got Lukaku up front. The man misses so many chances. And as a Man United fan, that frustrates me. Like, I can't tell you how many times he missed the open goal this season. But at the same time, he's a man who, when he's on, you're not stopping him. Everyone used to say, like, Didier Drogba was, like, this big dude, such a horse, hard to cover. If you look at a picture of the two of them standing side by side, Lukaku's taller and bigger and just an absolute menace.
He's a monster.
And the thing is, like, Thiago Silva is a great defender, played well for PSG for years, but he's getting, like I said, with Godin, he's getting old, too. Like, is he really going to be able to, like, hit, you know, cover him?
Right.
At the same time with Brazil, look, last game, they had Marcelo on the bench. I mean, so there's some attacking options they could throw on there. But I think you're going to almost need Marcelo to have to start this game over Felipe Luis on the right, just because you're going to need someone who's fast to be able to cover the back line if Silva gets pulled out trying to cover Lukaku.
Right.
Because if say Belgium, sometimes I play that one up front, you know, all you got to do is lay it off to one of these speedy wingers Belgium has. I mean, and look at Yana's eye. United reject, did horrible in Germany. Dortmund didn't even like him on loan. Didn't play him a single game. He's kind of found his form over, and I think it's Sociedad in Spain. And all of a sudden, he's showing up in this World Cup again. Well, you get him coming down the wing on a layoff of Lukaku, and if you don't have any speed covering them with the slow center backs that Brazil has, in my opinion, then you're going to happy shoot problems. Also, in Brazil's problem, Casemiro is suspended, their defensive midfielder.
That's very true. Very good note.
That's going to play, you know, a big thing. Plus, I'll say this, Lukaku is going for the golden boot in this tournament. So if he wants to win that, his team really needs to get through to semifinals to have a chance.
Right. Now, who are you going with?
I want to pick Brazil. Like, my head says Brazil, but I'm going with my heart. I want Belgium to go through. I feel like
that's my pick.
At the same time, I think Brazil will win, but I'm going with Belgium just because I would love to see a Belgium-France game against each other. That would just be fascinating because you got a lot of young European guys just going at it. Plus, they kind of hate each other when it comes to, you know, playing soccer as teams.
Yeah, it'd be a very good game to watch, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good whoever France plays. I'm already saying France is through no matter what. But I don't know. I've kind of fallen out of love with Brazil. I know growing up was like, the Brazilians are fun to watch. I kind of hate half their attitudes. They're, you know, it's maybe because Neymar's just been rolling around everywhere.
Right. But he's making some noise.
Just curious, on Neymar, how do you feel about the whole VAR thing so far in this tournament?
Very good. Very good question. Yes. I feel like it's actually helped a lot. I feel I have positive vibes for the VAR system because of the fact that they have already, you know, shown replays of goals that, you know, should be goals and no goals that should be no goals. And just confirming that, because in the past World Cups, you know, I can just think off the top of my head, like Lampard. Remember his shot hit the crossbar and down and in, and it's a goal. You know, that changes Neuer, the whole game.
He
yeah.
beat Neuer, and everyone was, like, taking it away from him on top of everything else.
But there was no VAR back then.
Yeah.
And that could have changed everything for you know, England. Or, no.
They were playing Germany. They weren't going to win no matter what.
Okay, German fans. But, yeah, I like VAR so far. I think it's been very helpful. I think it's nice. The only way, you know, that you can, you know, somewhat – overcall a poor call would be the VAR system, so I like that. The thing I don't like is sometimes you just have to play the way the game goes out, like the way it's seen by the ref. I feel like a lot of times just the flow of the game just gets interrupted, because I mean there's some times where the ref's literally just walking around for 5 minutes and just waiting for the VAR guys to tell, okay, now go look at the replay. It's like, dude, you literally just busted the whole flow of play. And, you know, who knows? That momentum for that team could have just changed the game. So there's pros and cons. I think the pros outweigh the cons for me so far. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think part of it is because, you know, we're in the States and we've had VAR in the MLS.
Yes.
So we're a little more used to it. And we kind of saw the whole, when it first came out, you know, it like the middle of last season, it was horrible at first. Like they didn't really know how to respond to it. Plus, I will say, at least with this, the World Cup, I've enjoyed it so far. I mean, it does break play up. But, you know, if it's a penalty, I'd rather have them call a penalty. And you look at, like, Colombia's reaction against England the last game. Like, they were begging them for the go VAR on the Harry Kane penalty. And it was obviously a penalty, but, like, with VAR, that should, in theory, get rid of that whole surrounding the referee. And I'd be in favor if they're like, you know what, if you're surrounding them, you're all getting a yellow card. I know that could ruin a game, and I know people get upset about it, but, like, if we're going to have stuff like this in place, then we really need to, you know, like, fine, crack down on this whole whining. They're like, this doesn't look good. I mean, it looks like you're literally about to murder this ref. So I kind of love the whole VAR from that standpoint. Like, you know, let's get the call right, especially when there's literally millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line.
Right. And I'd have to agree. And I think it's a very good system to have in place. And I think going forward, I think they should keep it. At least that's just my initial analysis of the VAR system. But let's get back on track on the next matchup. What we got on the other side of the brackets, we got Sweden versus England. That is Saturday. This Saturday at 10 o'clock, first game, Saturday morning. We got the Swedes versus England. And Forsberg has been playing well for Sweden. I feel like they didn't beat a very good Swiss team to make it to this stage at the World Cup, but I feel like Forsberg has to have a breakout game against England for Sweden to even, you know, come close to England's power squad. That is just my initial analysis. I think England's pulling through with this one, but what do you think?
England's definitely going to win, in my opinion. It's funny, when England and Sweden play, they tend to play the draws, especially in the World Cup. They've done it twice in the last five tournaments, so both are scoreless. So that wouldn't surprise me. But the difference between then and now is, you look at England's attacking front, you know, you got Harry Kane, who is just, the man is on fire, and just got his old contract extended at Tottenham. So he's kind of, you know, got something to celebrate and just really prove how good he is to everyone. And on top of that, let's say he's having a bad game. You know, you have Rashford and Vardy you can pull off the bench. Mm-hmm. And so think about, if you're a Swedish defender and you just, like, we're going to bunker down and play for, you know, penalties or extra time and try to get the work done. If you do that, how tired are you going to be when you see Marcus Rashford, like, just like Mbappe,
your worst, you know, 19, nightmare.
Like, wheels, like, no one else, just coming off the bench like, all right, give me the ball. On top of it, you got, you know, Rashford's, like, best friend Lingard playing on the opposite side of the field in the midfield. Those two play together all the time.
Yep.
Sure. So they're going to be, you know, flying. Plus, you look at, you know, Pickford is an underrated goaltender.
Everton keeper.
Yeah. And can I just say, I loved in the penalty shootout, he's got on his water bottle.
Oh, my goodness.
Which side the guys are going to kick. I mean, that's genius. I mean, we've seen Scott Foster in the League Cup pull on an iPod. Seen Lehman pull the card out of his sock. This guy's got it on his water bottle. Like, all right, I'm just taking a drink. No, I'm really looking which way you're going. I mean, how intimidating is that gotta be?
Yeah, he did really well for England. I think Pickford played really well. I mean, he's 24 years old. He's 1 year younger than me, dude. And he's at the World Cup making saves. You know, that's amazing to me. But yeah, I got England going through with this. I don't see Sweden going.
I will say this. Harry Kane is tied with Gary Lineker for the record for most English goals at a World Cup with 6. So if he scores one more, he'll have a record there. Ooh. And he is winning the Golden Boot race by 2. So that's really kind of incentive for him to keep going.
Yeah.
And I really hope, you know, the whole thing, football's coming home.
Yeah.
I will say, and we're getting into the next match with Croatia and Russia, but I think it's England and Croatia's bracket to lose, one of those two teams.
I agree. Yep, and transitioning, that was perfect, transitioning right into the next matchup. I would like to say we got Putin against Modric and Rakitic of Croatia. That's all I have to say to that. And I saw some memes on Facebook about Putin, and there's a picture of Putin on the phone, and the caption says, De Gea, we have now released your family. I know you're a Manchester United fan. What do you have to say about De Gea's 6 conceded goals out of the 7 shots he faced this World Cup?
I blame the whole Spanish team.
That's a good blame. I like that.
Number one, I mean, you got Ramos, who's one of the best central defenders in the world. I mean, he's proven his 3rd straight Champions League title, so that's nothing to slouch at. But Spain just plays on reputation now. Like, for years they struggled and had this whole, like, Spain's the team of the future, and then played like crap. And then they kind of put it together for, you know, that those 2 Euros and the World Cup run that they had, you know, kind of 12-year or 8-year domination they had. But now it's kind of an aging team. Plus, when you throw your coach literally out the day before the tournament starts because he signed a contract with Real Madrid,
right?
And he didn't even do it. Real Madrid announced it. He didn't say a word. So
is it an inside job?
Oh, I totally think that's Real Madrid. We are bigger than the Spanish national team, kind of thing.
Right.
Personally, but
what do you think about this matchup? You know, Russia did beat Spain. I mean, to get to this point, but again, you know, how much magic does Russia have left against Croatia? Croatia's a solid team right now.
Yeah, the thing with Croatia, like, they may struggle a little bit against Russia because they're going to sit back. But you're looking at Rakitic and Modric, like you said, in the midfield. Those guys are just magicians. They're kind of like the – everyone's going to hate this comparison, but Iniesta and Xavi from a few years ago. Just 2 great guys in the midfield. And they're one of the best tandems. But they're going to control that game from the midfield. And you look up front, you know, Mandzukic is just a man who will do whatever it takes. He'll put his body in any which contortion to score a goal. And when you combine that with those two guys going forward, you know, it's going to be interesting. And plus, Subasic is a great goalie, yep. You know, back, so I trust him.
So they have a chance? Do they have a chance against Croatia, though?
There's always a chance. I mean, it's a home advantage game for him.
Yeah.
Home field advantage. Like, that's – you can never underestimate that. That being said, look what happened to Brazil last tournament. You know, blew a 7-1 against Germany at home.
Yeah.
But
I feel like it's different this year. I mean, there's been a lot of, I guess, the so-called upsets. And I think they are upsets.
Yeah, it's just so hard.
Yeah, and it's been an interesting World Cup, and I think that's part of the reason why it's been so entertaining is because of those upsets that are happening. And the magic of Russia, like, you know, I think they have a chance against Croatia.
But I think they definitely have a chance. Like, part of me wants Russia to win. I'm picking Croatia. There'll be no doubt I'm picking Croatia. But part of me wants to win because I think it'd be kind of awesome to see England get to a final. And I would love to see, you know, the whole England-Russia. I mean, I know the U.S. and Russia have horrible relations right now, but England's kind of part of that too, you know, because how much our countries are intertied politically. Right. So that would be an interesting matchup from that standpoint.
Right.
At the same time, I mean, part of me wants England to win a tournament because I feel like they've suffered for years, and I know everyone hates on them for that. But, I mean, they're a fun team to watch for the first time in a long time.
Yep.
So I kind of want Russia to win just from that standpoint.
Yeah, I feel like I'm agreeing with you a lot, and there's a lot of reasons for that because you have great insight. And I'm going with Croatia. My scoreline for this one, actually, it's going to be about 5 goals in this game. I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring one. I think Croatia is going to pull through with a 3-2 victory. That's just
I think it's going to be 1-0 in extra time, Croatia. I think Russia's going to bunker try to hold on.
Perfect. Well, guys, thank you, John. I really appreciate you coming on here on my podcast. As the very first ever interviewee on my podcast, The T-Wood Show, and I appreciate your time. And again, I might have you back on this show. Whether we can do a show live together. How would you feel about that?
That's fine. You can call me anytime, man. You know, I'll answer and talk about soccer.
I love that.
Hockey, soccer, comics. Those are the things I talk about. Oh, and pizza.
Oh, and those things. Exactly. And I was about to say, maybe we can eat a pie of pizza together and talk some soccer sometime.
That'd be great, man.
All right. Yeah. So you enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the quarterfinals of the rest of the World Cup. It's going to be amazing.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too. All right. Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks again, guys, for taking a listen to my very first episode. Congratulations for making it through. I will be putting out content, hopefully, every week. So be on the lookout for that. And feel free to email me at thetwoodshow@gmail.com if you guys want to have any type of topics within the game of soccer that you would love to hear me discuss. Also, you can feel free to shoot me a message on Facebook. If we are friends, please send me a message. If we're not, go ahead and send me a friend request. And then we can chat, and maybe you can be on the show as an interviewee. How cool is that? But anyway, I'm going to leave you guys with this question. What are you doing to grow the beautiful game? All right. Thanks, guys. Peace.